Well, Fred put me after lunch. Yeah, right. I feel like I got to perform, keep you guys going. Well, yeah, and then I got my brother Scott Hathorn's after me. It's better going ahead of Scott than after him, right? Let's pray. If I can get this on. Okay. Lord, thank you. What a blessing. Lord, thank you for the food, for the fellowship, for giving us a relationship with each other because of you. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word, your faithfulness by your Spirit to meet us, just like you did with David, Lord. So, you know, nothing's changed in that respect, and we're so grateful that you can minister to us, Lord. I pray now that you open our hearts, our minds to what you have for us. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, these guys pretty much took all my material, but that's okay because God's in control, right? He knows. He didn't take it all. They didn't take it all, but it was cool because Pastor Jeff's my pastor, by the way. And something he said in the last teaching, he was in Numbers. And I wanted to give, wasn't planning on doing this, but I feel the Holy Spirit kind of pushing me to maybe share something on a personal note. If you've ever struggled with something, whether it be an addiction, we call it an addiction, a sin issue, right? We all have something. The problem is, and this is why men's groups, for me, like David, I think David, when we see this with David, when he's praying these prayers, it becomes a psalm, a song. It's different than when we sing a song, a secular song. A secular song is generated by the feelings and emotions that I have as a man. I'm not musical. But I listened to, last night I was listening to some Christian music. I listened to some 80s stuff. I'm a child of the 80s, man. And, you know, Guns N' Roses and all this stuff, you know, it has an allure, a big time allure in the flesh. It can dredge up some serious memories. There's something about that the flesh, there's stain that when you're engaging in a fleshly behavior, and you go all, you know, you can say what you want about it. An addiction. I look at a woman to lust, and you get a feeling, man, right? There's chemical reaction that happens in the body. It's a normal thing in the context of marriage, but a perverse thing when I'm talking about looking at a woman that's not my wife or I'm not married. You know what that is, and there's a stain, and you can have images in your head. You can have feelings that can last 20 years. But when you study Scripture to memorize it, how hard is it? Because we won't put the effort in that we put into the flesh to nurture the flesh. And it says, people say this all the time, I hate myself. I can't stand who the person I've become. And that may be true partially, especially as a believer, if you're struggling the spirit against the flesh. You don't like the things you're doing. You want to change them because you know they're wrong. But no man yet ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. He feeds it. And I go to great lengths to feed my flesh. And I remember those things. It's not different with the Spirit. I think more so with the Spirit if we will submit to God and pump ourselves full or infuse ourselves with the Word of God, what will happen is He'll do the same thing with me that way. It'll be imprinted and I'll remember it. I remember things when I was a brand new believer. I was on fire for the Lord. I wanted to win. I was looking for people like a shark who I could witness to. And when I was studying Scripture, it's imprinted in my head. I can recall those things to this day. But at some point, I stopped doing that, having that same zeal, vigor for the Lord. And that's a dangerous point. I want to bring this up. Okay, why do I like men's groups? Because it's in the raw, if you will, kind of. I feel different with you than I do maybe in a congregation where it's men, women, children, the body of Christ. There's nothing wrong with that. We need that. But we also need this. And David, it's like nothing's changed. Because David was speaking under the influence of the Holy Spirit, and here I am, you know, thousands of years later, and I get the same thing, and it's like I'm living in that same moment. I understand it. God brings the realization to me that His Word is true. It applies to my life. I call that like living in the impact zone. And I have a lot of examples in my life. Pastor Jeff was bringing up the scripture Numbers. Let's be real, okay? One thing with David, and it's come up a couple of times, is lust of the flesh. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the boastful pride of life. The problem is, nobody wants to talk about those things. We have a society that is immersed in pornography, and even in the church, men are struggling with pornography and what they're viewing with their eyes, and yet nobody wants to talk about that. I'm not saying I'm going to talk about that, but I want to bring up one thing. Pastor Jeff mentioned cell phones. And cell phones, when I was a kid, it was really tough to get your hands on stuff you shouldn't look at because you had to physically go get it, take it back to your house and watch it. And in the process of that time taking place, someone that you knew probably saw you. There was some guilt and some shame associated with it. Now I don't have to do that. I can look at it on a cell phone. I don't carry a cell phone. That's my personal conviction. I'm not imposing that on you. There was a time, though, as a believer, that I fell. I got this, I thought it was great, man. Big old television screen cell phone. So I can watch all the, you know, it's like high def. And I was going to do good things with it. It's amoral. Pastor Jeff mentioned that. TV, VCR, DVD player, all amoral. However, it's what you do with it that makes it right or wrong. So I'm not disputing the fact that there's good to be had with both, this technology we have. But listen, if you have a mind for God, but you have a heart for the world, it equals something. What it equals is a peril of the divided life. Pastor Jeff talked about this, a compromised life. If I back that up, a mind for God and a heart for the world leads to the peril of a worldly life. I can be a believer, but have a heart for the world, a mind for God, but a heart for the world. And I fall back into those things, and what happens is immorality, immoral life. It never is different than that. If I have a divided life, there's always immorality. If I have compromise, and you don't have to nod your head, but you know in your heart, if you have compromise in your life, you have immoral stuff going on in the life. Compromise in and of itself would be immoral. It is not pleasing to God by nature. So, a mind for God, but a heart for God equals a peril of a divided life. This isn't mine. I probably stole this from Pastor Bill. I write notes in my Bible. But when I went there, it struck a chord in me. So I have an immoral life. I'm going to give you a personal testimony. I fell into some of this stuff. This is going back a few years. And the flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These two are contrary one to the other. And I would say, God, why don't you just deal with this with me once and for all? I'm tired of this, man. I'm tired of being divided. And He told me something. I've already dealt with it. You gotta make a choice, and you gotta be a man and stand up and decide what you're gonna do. And you have to take away the area you struggle in. It's not going to take itself away. The flesh isn't going to ever say, I agree with you, it's got to go. I don't want to do this anymore. No, the flesh wants more. It's never satisfied. It's a lie. You ever go on YouTube? I'm going to get into the Bible. This ties in. You ever go on YouTube and maybe you're looking up something good and it says, Vines compilation. This Vines compilation will be, on the front will be a woman with big breasts. You click on, once the flesh is incited, it's hard to say no, isn't it? The train's rolling, man. You're in the flesh, you can't say no in the flesh. You got to be built up in the Spirit before this ever happens so that you can say no. Can't say no in the flesh, you can only say no in the Spirit. If I could have said no in the flesh, I would have said it before I came to Christ. I never said it, I just indulged. That's one safeguard. So he told me, I've already done something about it. I died on the cross. I've given you every tool you need to be successful as a godly man. You're the problem. Not me giving you the ability. That's not the problem. You're the problem. I know that, Lord. Please help me. Right? So you put the cell phone in the middle of the street and you stomp on it. But it cost $350 for that thing, man. You know, I walked in the house that day. I literally stomped on the thing. I took it and I threw it, man, in the woods. And it was about 5 pieces. I don't want to be tempted to even go back and, you know, in my flesh, maybe I'll go look for it or something, right? So how do you go in the house and explain to your wife? I just stomped my cell phone. What? That thing was $350. I don't care what it costs, man. At this point, I'm like pulling my hair out of my head, right? I'm not strong enough to do certain things. So the point is, you have to make a step. If you're trapped in something, you're really the answer. God is the answer. I assume if you're here, you have a relationship with God, or you're pretty close. You're not here by accident. This ball's in your court. God's done everything He can do. He's given us His Word. He's died on the cross for our sins. But sometimes I have to say, I can't handle this. I got to do away with this. That's what the Lord said. If something causes you to sin, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. I'm not man enough to pluck my eyeball out. I'm not that tough. But I can stomp a cell phone, get rid of a TV or, you know, internet, whatever the case may be. So remember, a mind for God, a heart for the world always equals peril of a divided life, which leads to immorality every time. And that'll be a cycle. It'll be a cycle. You'll keep going. And you'll say, I can't help it, I'm addicted. I don't believe that. If you have Christ, He's the answer for it. You gotta respond, react to what He's already done. Sometimes people get delivered and they walk away from stuff. That wasn't my situation. I have the capability right now that if I let down certain guards, I'll fall right back into it. Some people might look at me and say, you're not born again. I know that's a lie. The Bible doesn't tell me that. I believe in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and He's the answer to my sin. He's paid the penalty on the cross. This isn't works-based salvation. I'm already saved. We're talking about working out your salvation with the Lord through the sanctification process where He refines me into the man He wants me to be. It's that simple. Okay? So I just wanted to touch on that. Now I'm going to jump to Psalm 139. Oh, what time did I start? What time am I supposed to be done, Fred? Really? Okay, what time? Oh, okay, good. Oh, my goodness, you're right. Okay, wow. That's a mini session. Maybe that's all I needed to say. I want to show you just a couple things, okay? Wow, Fred, you got me on that. Psalm 139. I'll finish this up in just a few minutes here. I don't want to steal anyone's time. Okay. Psalm 139. I'm just going to look at the last two verses. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Know is a relationally. It literally means a relationship. Try me and know my thoughts or anxious feelings. Somebody mentioned that. Or disquieting thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now this word everlasting looks forward, it looks back. And how we know that is from the Scriptures. Jeremiah chapter 6. I want to flip there real quick. I'll show you what I mean by that. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16 says, Thus saith the Lord, Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, We will not walk therein. See, he's asking them for an action. They know the right way, but they're not doing it. So he shows them, the Lord says, Stand ye in the ways. Okay, what the ways or these good ways are morally correct behavior. Stand in it. You know it. You know what morally correct behavior is as a Christian. Stand in that behavior. And then there's a moving forth. Ask for the old path, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. We will not walk therein, that spiritual lethargy. They have a knowledge of God, but they're denying the power of God to move forward. Not so with us. We hear God, we're going to move forward. But we're looking back. He says, ask for the old path. This is the same terminology. Back here in Psalm 139, it says, verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. He's looking forward. There's two lists here that I want to show you. Sir, he says in Psalm 139, search, know, try, see, and lead me. He's looking forward. That's the place you want to be as a Christian man, believer. You want to be acknowledging these things. Search me, God. Know me. Instead of being like they were in Jeremiah chapter 6, where the Lord has to say to them, and He gives them a list here also. He says, stand ye in the ways, ask for the old paths, walk therein, and you will find rest. And that's what we want, rest in the Lord. We're striving for that, aren't we? I want to know the rest or the peace of God that passes all understanding. But He says they won't. So He says, stand, see, ask, walk, rest. God is bringing an indictment against them, saying, I want you to do these things. This is the answer to your problem. Maybe you're here and you're walking fine with the Lord. Then you ask these questions like David did. Search me, know me, try me, see me, and lead me forward. And that's the best place you can be. If you're in the other state and you're not really walking with God, you're a Christian, but you're struggling with your flesh, then the exhortation is stand, see, ask, walk, and rest. See, there's progressive motion on both of these. If you're doing good, you're progressing. You don't want to go the other way. You don't want to slow down, back off, mature. That's the term we use, right? I've matured in the Lord. I don't get into, I've narrowed my service to God. No, it's no such thing. We should be growing and getting closer and closer to the Lord, more in His Word. Standing in the ways is a course of life or a mode of action. So if you've fallen from God's grace and you know that you're just, Lord, please forgive me for my sins. You come to Him, He'll no wise cast you out. And you do these things, okay? And then we'll close with Matthew 11:28. And somebody already mentioned this too, but that's okay. Well, all goes the same place. Matthew 11:28. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now watch this. This is why I think prayer, men's group, if you're not a part of a men's group, you need to be part of one. Prayer and the Word. I've had people say to me, that's just pray, that's not study. Why can't we just pray? Well, you can. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think, biblically, we pray, we study, and we pray. I'll tell you why. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me. And that's conditional. Learn of me, and, when I have that word and, conditional phrase there, or a word, ye shall find rest unto your souls. So, learning brings rest. I don't know how it works, but I know that when I pray, that's an expression of something that's going on in here that I'm offering upward to God. But when I'm learning, a man might be teaching me something. It's a man teaching me something. But it's by the Holy Spirit. If you don't believe the people that God is put in front of you to teach you are led by the Spirit, you need to go someplace else. You can't receive anything. You have to acknowledge, not the man who was mentioned before, but God the Holy Spirit who's teaching me. It's something that is supernatural, that starts with the Holy Spirit, that is infused in my life because I have the indwelling Holy Spirit. And I learn, and what happens then? I find rest. I'm not struggling with the same things. I'm a new believer. I'm a new creation in Christ. Okay, so he says, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And that literally means gentle and humble. I had some examples of men in my life growing up, rough, you know, men. I thought they were, that's a man. Until I learned about Christ. They're men. But they're not a man in the full sense of the word. It says about him, he was meek and lowly in heart, gentle and humble. You shall find rest unto your souls. We spend way too much time trying to be something. The world is set up as the standard. When everything we need for to be a man is right here, right? In the example of Christ. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.